There is a beautiful moon tonight, Lord Illingworth.
Let us go and look at it. To look at anything that is inconstant is charming nowadays.
You have your looking glass.
It is unkind. It merely shows me my wrinkles.
Mine is better behaved. It never tells me the truth.
Then it is in love with you.
It is getting late, Gerald. Let us go home.
If you really want to, of course, Mother. But I must say goodbye to Lord Illingworth first. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Let him leave me if he chooses. But not with him. Not with him. I couldn't bear it.
What a lovely night it is, Mrs. Arbuthnot.
Is it?
Mrs. Arbuthnot, I wish you would let us be friends. You were so different from the other women here. When you came into the drawing room this evening, somehow you brought with you a sense of what is good and pure in life. I had been foolish. There are many things that are right to say, but that may be said at the wrong time to the wrong people.
I heard what you said. I agree with it, Miss Worsley.
I didn't know you had heard it, but I knew you would agree with me. A woman who has sinned shouldn't be allowed to come into the society of good men and women.
She should not.
And the man should be punished in the same way.
In the same way. And the children, if there are children, in the same way also?
Yes, it is right that the sins of the parents should be visited on the children. It is a just law. It is God's law.
It is one of God's terrible laws.
You are distressed about your son leaving you, Mrs. Arbuthnot.
He set his heart on going.
Oh, he couldn't refuse you anything. He loves you too much. Ask him to stay. Let me send him in to you. He's on the terrace at this moment with Lord Illingworth. Do ask him to stay.
He won't come. I know he won't come.
Dear Mother,
I'm afraid I kept you waiting.
I forgot all about it. I am so happy tonight, Mother. I have never been so happy. Gerald, don't go away with Lord Illingworth. I implore you not to. Gerald, I beg you.
Mother, how changeable you are. An hour and a half ago in the drawing room, you agreed to the whole thing. Now you turn round and make objections and try to force me to give up my one chance in life. Yes, my one chance. It is very strange that when I have such a wonderful piece of good luck, the one person to put difficulties in my way should be my own mother. Besides, you know, Mother, I love Esther Worsley. And if I had a position, if I had prospects, I could ask her to... Don't you understand now, Mother, what it means to me to be Lord Illingworth's secretary?
I fear you need have no hopes of Miss Worsley. I know her views on life. She's just told them to me.
Then I have my ambition left, at any rate. That is something. I'm glad I have that. You have always tried to crush my ambition, Mother, haven't you? I think success is a thing worth having. You have been wrong in all that you taught me, Mother, quite wrong. Lord Illingworth is a successful man. He is a fashionable man. He is a man who lives in the world and for it. Well, I would give anything to be just like Lord Illingworth.
I would sooner see you dead.
Mother, what is your objection to Lord Illingworth? Tell me right out. What is it?
He is a bad man.
I suppose you think him bad because he doesn't believe the same things as you do. Well, men are different from women, Mother. It is natural that they should have different views.
It is not what Lord Illingworth believes or what he does not believe that makes him bad. It is what he is.
Mother, is it something you know of him? Something you actually know?
It is something I know.
How long have you known it?
For 20 years.
Is it fair to go back 20 years in any man's career? And what have you or I to do with Lord Illingworth's early life? What business is it of ours?
But this man has been, he is now, and will be always.
Mother, tell me what Lord Illingworth did. If he did anything shameful, I will not go away with him. Surely you know me well enough for that.
Gerald, come near to me. Quite close to me, as you used to do when you were a little boy. When you were mother's own boy. Gerald, there was a girl once. She was very young. She was little over 18 at the time. George Harford, that was Lord Illingworth's name then. George Harford met her. She knew nothing about life. He knew everything. He made this girl love him. He made her love him so much that she left her father's house with him one morning. He had solemnly promised to marry her, and she had believed him. But he put the marriage off from week to week and month to month. She trusted in him all the while. She loved him. Before her child was born, for she had a child, she implored him for the child's sake to marry her, that the child might have a name, that her sin might not be visited on the child, who was innocent. He refused. After the child was born, she left him, taking the child away, and her life was ruined, and her soul ruined, and all that was sweet and good and pure in her ruined also. She suffered terribly. She suffers now. She will always suffer. For her there is no joy, no peace, no atonement. The fire cannot purify her. The waters cannot quench her anguish. Nothing can heal her. No anodyne can give her sleep. No poppies, forgetfulness. She is lost. She is a lost soul. That is why I call Lord Illingworth a bad man. That is why I don't want my boy to be with him.
My dear mother, it all sounds very tragic, of course. But I dare say the girl was just as much to blame as Lord Illingworth was. After all, would a really nice girl, a girl with any nice feelings at all, go away from her home with a man to whom she was not married and live with him as his wife? No nice girl would.
Gerald, I withdraw all my objections. You are at liberty to go away with Lord Illingworth when and where you choose.
Dear mother, I knew you wouldn't stand in my way. You are the best woman God ever made. And as for Lord Illingworth, I don't believe he is capable of anything infamous or base. I can't believe it of him. I can't.
Let me go. Save me. Save me from him.
From who?
He has insulted me. Horribly insulted me. Save me.
Who? Who is dead?
My dear Miss Worsley.
That man.
Lord Illingworth, you have insulted the purest thing on God's earth. A thing as pure as my own mother. You have insulted the woman I love most in the world with my own mother. As there is a God in heaven, I will kill you!
No! No!
Don't hold me, mother! Don't hold me! I'll kill him!
Gerald!
Let me go, I say!
Stop, Gerald! Stop! He is your own father!
And Mrs. Allenby. Good morning, Gerald.
Good morning, Lady Hunsdon. Good morning, Mrs. Allenby.
Good morning, Mr. Arbuthnot.
You are writing a letter. I hope we're not disturbing you. We came to inquire for your dear mother, Gerald. I hope she is better.
My mother's not come down yet, Lady Hunsdon.
I'm afraid the heat was too much for her last night. One feels your mother's good influence in everything she has about her, Gerald.
Lord Illingworth says that all influence is bad, but that a good influence is the worst in the world.
And Lord Illingworth knows Mrs. Arbuthnot better. He will change his mind. I must certainly bring him here. Most women in London nowadays seem to furnish their rooms with nothing but orchids, foreigners, and French novels. But here we have the room of a sweet saint. Fresh natural flowers, books that don't shock one. pictures that one can look at without blushing.
But I like blushing.
Well, there is a good deal to be said for blushing if one can do it at the proper moment. By the by, Gerald, I hope your dear mother will come and see me more often now. You and Lord Illingworth start almost immediately, don't you?
I have given up my intention of being Lord Illingworth's secretary.
Oh, surely not, Gerald. It would be most unwise of you. What reason can you have?
I don't wish to leave my mother.
Now, Gerald, that is pure laziness on your part. Not leave your mother. If I were your mother, I would insist on your going.
Mrs. Arbuthnot's compliments, my lady, but she has a bad headache and cannot see anyone this morning.
A bad headache? Oh, I'm so sorry. Perhaps you'll bring her up to Hunsdon this afternoon, if she is better, Gerald.
I'm afraid not this afternoon, Lady Hunsdon.
Tomorrow, then. Oh, if you had a father, Gerald, he wouldn't let you waste your life here. He would send you off to Lord Illingworth at once. Goodbye, Gerald. Give my fondest love to your mother.
Goodbye, Mr. Arbuthnot.
Goodbye. What name can I sign? I, who have no right to any name. Mother. I have just written to him.
To whom?
To my father. I have written to tell him to come here at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Gerald, if you are going away with Lord Illingworth, go at once. Go before he kills me. But don't ask me to meet him.
Mother, you don't understand. Nothing in the world would induce me to go away with Lord Illingworth or to leave you. Surely you know me well enough for that. No, I have written to Lord Illingworth to tell him that he must marry you.
Marry me?
I will insist upon his doing it. I will make him do it. He will not dare to refuse.
But, Gerald, it is I who refuse.
But you don't understand. It is for your sake I'm talking, not for mine. This marriage will not help me. Will not give me a name that will be really, rightly mine to bear. But surely it will be something for you, that you, my mother, should, however late, become the wife of the man who is my father. Will not that be something?
I will not marry him.
Mother, you must.
I will not. What atonement can be made to me? There is no atonement possible. I am disgraced. He is not, that is all. It is the usual history of a man and a woman, and the ending is the ordinary ending. The woman suffers, the man goes free.
I don't know if that is the ordinary ending, Mother. I hope it is not. But your life, at any rate, should not end like that. The man shall make whatever reparation is possible. It is not enough. It does not wipe out the past, I know that. But at least it makes the future better.
Better for you, Mother. I refuse to marry Lord Illingworth.
If he came to you himself and asked you to be his wife, you would give him a different answer. Remember, he is my father.
If he came himself, which he will not do, my answer would be the same. Remember, I am your mother.
Mother, you make it terribly difficult for me by talking like that. And I can't understand why you won't look at this matter from the right, from the only proper standpoint. It is a duty that you owe, not merely to yourself, but to all other women. Yes, to all the other women in the world, lest he betray more.
I owe nothing to other women. There is not one of them to help me. Women are hard on each other. That girl last night, good though she is, fled from the room as though I were a tainted thing. She was right. I am a tainted thing. But my wrongs are my own, and I will bear them alone.
I implore you to do what I ask you.
What son has ever asked of his mother to make so hideous a sacrifice? None.
What mother has ever refused to marry the father of her own child? None.
Let me be the first, then. I will not do it.
Mother, you believe in religion. And you brought me up to believe in it also. Well, surely your religion, the religion that you taught me when I was a boy, Mother, must tell you that I am right. You know it. You feel it.
I will not stand before God's altar and ask God's blessing on so hideous a mockery as marriage between me and George Harford.
I don't understand you now.
Men don't understand what mothers are. I am no different from other women except in the wrong done me and the wrong I did. And yet, to bear you, I had to look on death. Death fought with me for you. All women have to fight with death to keep their children. Death, being childless, wants our children from us. And you needed love, for you were weakly. And only love could have kept you alive. Only love can keep anyone alive. And boys are careless often, and without thinking give pain, and we always fancy that when they come to man's estate and know us better, they will repay us. But it is not so. The world draws them from our side, and they make friends, and have amusements from which we are barred, and interests that are not ours. You made many friends, and went into their houses, and were glad with them. And I, knowing my secret, did not dare to follow. What should I have done in honest households? My past was ever with me. And you thought I didn't care for the pleasant things of life? I tell you, I longed for them, but did not dare to touch them. Feeling I had no right. You thought I was happier working amongst the poor. That was my mission, you imagined. It was not. But where else was I to go? The sick do not ask if the hand that smooths their pillow is pure, nor the dying care if the lips that touch their brow have known the kiss of sin. And you thought I spent too much of my time in going to church. But where else could I turn? God's house is the only house where sinners are made welcome. And you were always in my heart, Gerald. Too much in my heart. For though day after day, at morn or evensong, I have knelt in God's house, I have never repented of my sin. How could I repent of my sin when you, my love, were its fruit? I would rather be your mother. Oh, much rather. Than have been always pure. Oh, don't you see? Don't you understand? It is my dishonor that has made you so dear to me. It is my disgrace that has bound you so closely to me. Oh, don't ask me to do this horrible thing. Child of my shame, be still the child of my shame.
Mother. Mother, I didn't know you loved me so much as that. And I will be a better son to you than I have been. But, Mother, I can't help it. You must become my father's wife. You must marry him. It is your duty.
No. No, you shall not. That would be real dishonor. The first you have ever known.
Esther, have you been listening?
Leave him and come with me. There are other countries than England. Oh, other countries oversea. Better, wiser, and less unjust lands. The world is very wide and very big.
Esther!
Don't! You cannot love me at all unless you love her also. You cannot honor me unless she's holier to you. In her, all womanhood is martyred. Not she alone, but all of us are stricken in her house.
Esther, what shall I do?
Do you respect the man who is your father?
Respect him? I despise him. He is infamous.
I thank you for saving me from him last night.
Oh, that is nothing. I would die to save you. But you don't tell me what to do now.
Have I not thanked you for saving me?
But what should I do?
Ask your own heart, not mine. I never had a mother to save or shame.
He is hard. He is hard. Let me go away.
Mother, forgive me. I have been to blame.
Don't kiss my hands. They are cold. My heart is cold. Something has broken it.
Oh, don't say that. Why, at this moment, you are more dear to him than ever. Dear though you have been. And oh, how dear you have been always. Be kind to him.
You are my mother and my father all in one. I need no second parent. It was for you I spoke, for you alone. Oh, say something, mother. Have I but found one love to lose another? Don't tell me that. Oh, mother, you are cruel.
But has she found indeed another love?
You know I have loved him always.
But we are disgraced. We rank among the outcasts. Gerald is nameless. The sins of the parents should be visited on the children. It is God's law.
I was wrong. God's law is only love.
Come, dear. Gerald, I cannot give you a father. But I have brought you a wife.
Mother, I am not worthy either of her or you.
So she comes first, you are worthy. And when you're away, Gerald, with her, oh, think of me sometimes. Don't forget me. And when you pray, pray for me. We should pray when we are happiest. And you will be happy, Gerald.
Oh, you don't think of leaving us?
Mother, you won't leave us.
I might bring shame upon you.
Mother!
For a little, then. And if you let me, near you always.
Come out with us to the garden.
Later on. Later on.
A gentleman to see you, ma'am.
Show me the card. Say I will not see him.
Rachel.
What can you have to say to me today, George Harford? You must leave this house. My son may come in at any moment. I saved you last night. I may not be able to save you again. My son feels my dishonor strongly, terribly strongly. I beg you to go.
Last night was excessively unfortunate. That silly Puritan girl making a scene because I wanted to kiss her. What harm is there in a kiss?
A kiss may ruin a human life, George Harford. I know that too well.
We won't discuss that at present. What is of importance today, as yesterday, is still our son. According to our ridiculous English laws, I can't legitimize Gerald. But I can leave him my property. As for a title is really rather a nuisance in these democratic days. As George Harford, I had everything I wanted. Now I have merely everything that other people want, which isn't nearly so pleasant. Well, my proposal is this.
Lord Illingworth, no proposition of yours interests me.
The boy is to be with you for 6 months in the year and with me for the other six. That is perfectly fair, is it not? You can have whatever allowance you like and live where you choose. As for your past, no one knows anything about it except myself and Gerald. There is the Puritan, of course, the Puritan in the white muslin, but she doesn't count. She couldn't tell the story without explaining that she objected to being kissed, could she? And all the women would think her a fool and the men think her a bore. And you need not be afraid that Gerald won't be my heir. I needn't tell you I have not the slightest intention of marrying.
You come too late. My son has no need of you. You are not necessary.
What do you mean?
Look into the garden. She loves him. They love each other. We are safe from you, and we are going away.
Where?
We will not tell you, and if you find us, we will not know you. You seem surprised.
You have grown hard, Rachel.
I was too weak once. It is well for me that I have changed.
I was very young at the time. We men know life too early.
And we women know life too late. That is the difference between men and women.
Rachel, I want my son. My money may be of no use to him now. I may be of no use to him, but I want my son. Bring us together, Rachel. You can do it if you choose.
There is no room in my boy's life for you. He is not interested in you.
Then why does he write to me?
What do you mean?
What letter is this?
That is nothing. Give it to me.
It is addressed to me and in Gerald's handwriting.
It was not to have been sent. It is a letter he wrote to you this morning before he saw me. But now he is sorry he wrote it, very sorry. You are not to open it. Give it to me.
It belongs to me. You have read this letter, I suppose, Rachel?
No.
You know what is in it?
Yes.
I don't admit for a moment that the boy is right in what he says. I don't admit that it is any duty of mine to marry you. I deny it entirely. But to get my son back, I'm ready, yes. I'm ready to marry you, Rachel, and to treat you always with the deference and respect due to my wife. I will marry you as soon as you choose. I give you my word of honor.
I decline to marry you, Lord Illingworth.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Do tell me your reasons. They would interest me enormously.
I have already explained them to my son.
I suppose they were intensely sentimental, weren't they? You women live by your emotions and for them. You have no philosophy of life.
You are right. We women live by our emotions and for them, by our passions and for them, if you will. I have two passions, Lord Illingworth. My love of him, my hate of you. You cannot kill these. They feed each other.
So you really refuse to marry me?
Yes.
And does my son hate me as much as you do?
No.
I'm glad of that, Rachel.
He merely despises you.
What a pity. What a pity for him, I mean.
Don't be deceived, George. Children begin by loving their parents. After a time, they judge them. Rarely, if ever, do they forgive them.
May I ask by what arguments you made the boy who wrote this letter, this beautiful, passionate letter, believe that you should not marry his father, the father of your own child?
It was not I who made him see it. It was another.
What fin de siècle person?
The Puritan, Lord Illingworth.
Ah.
How curious. At this moment, you look exactly as you looked the night you left me 20 years ago. You have just the same expression in your mouth.
Upon my word, Rachel, no woman ever loved me as you did. Why, you gave yourself to me like a flower, to do anything I liked with. You were the prettiest of playthings, the most fascinating of small romances.
Oh, 1:45. Must be strolling back to Hunston. Don't suppose I shall see you there again. I'm sorry, I really am. It's been an amusing experience to have met amongst people of one's own rank and treated quite seriously, too. One's mistress and one's... Bah!
He would have said it. Well, dear mother, you never came out after all, so we have come in to fetch you. Mother, you have not been crying.
My boy.
But you have 2 children now. You'll let me be your daughter?
Would you choose me for a mother?
You of all women I have ever known.
Hello, mother. Whose glove is this? You've had a visitor. Who was it?
Oh, no one. No one in particular. A man of no importance.
Mr. Hobday, it may be only a prop to you, but it's pounds, shillings and pence to me.
Yes, it's all
secured. You've got the evening paper, I see. Is there a review of the opening night?
Yes, sir.
Let's have a look. Yes. Woman of No Importance by Mr. Oscar Wilde at the Wells Theatre last night. Blah, 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 blah. Splendid notice for Miss Diana Rigg as Mrs. Arbuthnot, and for Mr. Martin Jarvis as Lord Illingworth. Miss Annette Crosby is first rate as Lady Hunston, and Miss Susan Sheridan, a delightful Mrs. Allenby. Good, good. And Mr. Dominic Letts, a worthy Gerald Arbuthnot, and Miss Teresa Gallagher, a virtuous Hester Worsley. Now, Mr. Hobday, I said be careful with that vase.
Sorry, Charles. It's very heavy.
Where am I? Oh, yes. Well, Herdman, it seems that everybody gets a creditable mention. Mr. Jack Claff as Mr. Kirill, Miss Oriel Smith as Lady Stutfield, Miss Irene Sutcliffe as Lady Caroline Pontifract, Mr. Geoffrey Chater as Sir John Pontifract. Mr. David King as Archdeacon Daubeny, Mr. Peter Penry Jones as Lord Alfred Rufford, and Miss Adjoa Ando as Alice. I see Mr. Alexander Balanescu is noted for his exquisite playing of the violin.
Mr. Adrian Bean gets 1 line.
Oh, that's as much as he deserves. He's only the director.
No mention of you, sir?
No. Appears not, Herdman. Well, it comes as no surprise after all these years of sacrifice and devotion. Oh, wait a minute. Here we are. I knew it would be here. A last word must be spared for Sir Charles Crawford, manager of the Wells. I look forward to the performance of London Assurance with Mr. Daniel Massey and Mrs. Elizabeth Spriggs, but... Please, is this reviewer alone in hoping that he won't have to look at that hideous great vase on the set of every play in the season? Hobday!
Yes, Sir Charles?
Drop that vase.
Right, sir.